past three. It's 3 o'clock in South Australia and 1:30 in Western Australia.
And greetings to you on this lunar morning from ABC Radio, as we present now to listeners at home and overseas to Radio Australia our comprehensive coverage of the Apollo 11 mission to the moon. The main feature of this morning's coverage will be, of course, the undocking of the lunar module from the main spacecraft. And then later this afternoon, through until 7 o'clock or thereabouts, we hope to bring you a step-by-step description of the historic walk on the moon by astronauts Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, well, just those two, because poor old Mike Collins is left up there circulating around the moon, waiting for the other two to do their job and come back. To help you understand and follow the implications of this mighty adventure into space, we have with us again in the studio our team of some of Australia's leading scientific experts, all of them experts in their chosen field. And to introduce this panel of scientists to you and to discuss the program in greater detail, I hand you now to Dr. Peter Partley, head of the ABC's science unit.
Oh, good morning, Martin Royal, and thank you. Good to know you'll be alongside us through the early hours of the morning, because we cannot predict at this time just exactly how much we shall be hearing from the voice of Apollo, and when we're not hearing much, and we in the studio here, the special ABC Apollo studio in Sydney, don't have anything to contribute, we'll be crossing back to Martin Royal for music and for comment of his own. But the news, as has gone on throughout this mission, is that the Apollo 11 astronauts are well on schedule and everything is functioning perfectly. Michael Daly.
Well, they received the go-ahead for the undocking at just about 3 a.m. when they went around the other side of the moon. That's when we lost signal. They should be undocking at approximately 3:42. That's in 9 minutes' time. And we shall hear them at 3:47. So in just about 20 minutes' time, we should have them in an undocked condition and ready to go.
And all the times which we give to you here will be in Australian Eastern Time, having listeners in South Australia to subtract 30 minutes, and listeners in Western Australia 2 hours to get their local times, and of course listeners over Radio Australia, whom we welcome alongside this broadcast, in their own local times, which you can work out from the distance from Australian Eastern Time. Well, in the studio we have our panel of experts, and first Mr. Bob Leslie, Head of American Projects for the Department of Supply. Bob, how's the mission going?
Extremely well indeed. As Michael said, about 6 minutes after the undocking at 3:42, the spacecraft will come into view of the Madrid station, and the data will come from there. The lunar module should come out about 6 seconds before the command and service module, and then it'll be another 20 minutes nearly before there is a separation burn, which will take the command module up to about 2 miles away from the lunar module.
And the words which are being used, the code words being used for these two are Eagle for the lunar module containing Commander Neil Armstrong and the lunar module pilot, or Eagle pilot, I suppose he should now be called today, Neil Aldrin. Neil Armstrong and
Buzz.
Of about 2 miles. We have some times on the upcoming events. The separation maneuver is scheduled to occur at a ground elapsed time of 100 hours, 39 minutes, 50 seconds. The descent orbit insertion maneuver, which will be performed on the backside of the moon, set for 101 hours, 36 minutes, 14 seconds. And the beginning of the powered descent at 102 hours, 33 minutes, 4 seconds. We're now 55 seconds from reacquiring Apollo 11 on the 13th revolution. During this revolution, we will be doing the separation maneuver. We'll also be giving the crew on the module at go, no-go for the descent orbit insertion maneuver. We'll stand by now to reacquire the spacecraft.
That was the voice of Apollo, direct from Houston, Texas. And we expect the Eagle and Columbia to come out from behind the moon any moment now. And as is usual in these instances, there'll be an increase in static as they turn up the gain of the amplifiers on the tracking network. And the first thing that comes in is actually data, is it not, Bob Leslie, rather than voice?
Data.
We'll stand by for a call to the crew.
Standing by for the first voice contact. Eagle and Columbia should by now have undocked, but be very close to each other. Right next to each
other. Hello, Eagle Houston, we're standing by, over.
That's the first time we have heard the call sign Eagle.
Yes.
Very important to know the quality of the communications at this stage, with the lunar module being a much smaller craft than the Tamaran module. Still waiting to hear from Eagle, from Armstrong and Aldrin.
Eagle Houston, we see you on the steerable, over.
Roger,
how does it look?
The Eagle has wind.
Roger.
Looking good.
Roger, Neil, we got if you give us two in data, we got the loads for you.
Roger, you got
us. Two in data. Roger, let us know when you're ready to copy. We have a DOI pad and a PDI pad. Over.
We're listening out to the communication between Houston, Texas and the Eagle spacecraft. Now, they called up Eagle first. This is because what Eagle comes around from behind the moon first. There's still some chatter going down between
them. Okay, I'm ready to start my maneuver, but thank you, Mike.
As it comes out a few seconds ahead of Columbia. One thing you might have heard them mention, the tracking light. Yesterday when Armstrong and Aldrin went into the lunar module, they found that this tracking light, this is the light by which they see the module on the command module pilot sees the lunar module on the surface, had been apparently damaged during the launching phase. And it's caused a little bit of concern for a time, but now this light is apparently working. At least we hope so. We'll have to wait on further word for that.
How close have they been to the moon at this moment, Brian?
It's about 60 nautical miles at the moment, I think, Peter. It's they're just fiddling around up there at the moment until they actually start the descent that we're all looking forward to.
Bob Lindsay, it sounds as though they're actually talking to each other now. Eagle talking to Columbia, they're pointing up lights. This is like Collins in Columbia, isn't it?
Yes, I believe that is so.
Houston, Eagle is ready to copy. Roger, Eagle, coming at you with a DOI pad.
101-36-1407, down 81, minus 00758, plus all balls, plus 000908, plus, correction, 00572, Cherokee, plus 00085, 00764, 030, 000293, Mount 86, minus 00759, plus all balls.
Now?
Plus 000.
This is the data for the entry into the CSM's computer for the RTS burn, which will separate the command module up to about 2 miles from the lunar module Eagle.
Understand, you're ready to copy the PDI data, Eagle, over.
That's
permanent,
go ahead with the PDI.
Roger, PDI man. TIG
got close to the moon within 50,000 feet. But PDI, I think I'm right in saying, for the first time this will have been done. Is that right, Brad?
I'm sorry, Peter. Coming up to the millisecond type accuracy. They've done everything in Apollo 10, short of coming up to 50,000 feet. Compared to this mission. Does that answer your question,
Yes, the car descent insertion drill, what they really are now called PDI, has not so far been rehearsed in space. It is the first completely new maneuver on Apollo 11.
Yes, Bob,
Richard, you're right. The descent orbit insertion has been tried before, which, as Brian said, has brought the spacecraft down to an orbit with as low as 8 miles or 50,000 feet, but the power descent insertion has not been tried in space. It has been simulated, I believe, in Earth orbit on Apollo 9, but that's as far as it's gone.
0001
Well, the data continues to come in. Michael Daly. I should
point out that what we're hearing, in fact, is communication between Eagle and Columbia. Although they're only a matter of, shall we say, some feet or yards apart, these signals have to travel down to Earth and back up again, which is nearly half a million miles. It actually takes, I think, 2.6 seconds for the communications, two open communications to go. 1.3 seconds down and 1.3 seconds back up again.
Now
I think it's interesting to point out here, Peter, that we're talking about an exquisitely perfect timing system here. We've got, for example, 102 hours elapsed time plus 33 minutes, 04 seconds, and 36 milliseconds after that. We're talking about absolutely extraordinary time as far as this whole process is concerned, and I can't avoid being overwhelmed by the precision that they're carrying through this whole procedure.
Now, do they actually match this precision when they get them down to, as you say, milliseconds? The whole thing got to be automatically controlled.
No, Mike's got this relevant point here about the few seconds of elapsed time before you can communicate with these things. And I think, as I recollect, there's about a 10 or 12 second pad before Houston relays some of this information to us. Right?
zero. What do you mean by the term which I'll come?
Sorry, well, there are various ways that one can describe this, but essentially it's that the on the ground one inserts a time 10 to 12 seconds or something like that in which various people can think and recollect before the information is relayed over the world and the world.
John Lang, once again the astronauts seem cool, calm and collected.
Yes, did you go?
No worries.
They're not collected yet.
And Professor John Hubbling, what sort of features over the moon, if they were paying attention to them at the moment, which it doesn't sound as though they are, if they're more concerned with flying their spacecraft, what sorts of features do you think they would be observing?
Well, of course, they'd be looking down on the cratered surface of the moon. They'd be, as you say, I'm sure they're much too busy now to be looking out and enjoying the view. That will come later on. But they'll be seeing the, I think at this stage of the game, they should be coming over the heavily cratered uplands region before they go on to the smoother Mare.
Not the old packet. If you transported yourself to the spacecraft alone, what would you be thinking about?
I'd be wondering whether they're writing down all these figures on a piece of paper, or what, how is it that they are being repeated or recorded? Are they these are going up to them on voice, are they?
317600.
They have a pad, a pre-prepared pad. These are all formatted, and I believe that most of these are checked with the pencil and paper, but of course they go in automatically into the computer, and these are check figures for the astronauts to use. These aren't the active figures.
Good, well, thank you very much, Bob Leslie. Well, at this time, just coming up to 4 o'clock Australian Eastern Time, we have good news from the astronauts. There, all is going well, and the figures which are being read out give us good confirmation that the mission is right on schedule. And it's time to cross now for the latest news from the ABC News Service.
And this is Martin Royal with the latest news from the ABC, the rest of the news from the ABC's news service. Egypt and Israel have both sent aircraft against targets inside each other's territory. The first attack was reported by Israel, which says it sent planes against targets in Egypt along the northern half of the Suez Canal.
And it
does. Here is the latest from the moon. The moon landing craft, the Eagle, has separated from the Apollo commander. Confirmation that the two craft had separated came from the astronauts in poetic form with the words, "The Eagle has wings." In a few minutes, Michael Collins in the Apollo command ship is to begin a visual inspection of the outside of the landing craft. The two vessels will then move further apart, and soon after 5 o'clock Australian Eastern Time, the descent engine of the landing craft will be fired. For the moment, that's all from the ABC News Service. That brings the time in eastern Australia to 2:05. It's 4:28 in South Australia and 2:02 in Western Australia. A little more music at the moment, and we'll take you back to Dr. Fox and the team.